Welcome to the Biology Boost podcast, your go-to revision companion for GCSE and A-level biology. I'm your host, and today we're diving deep into one of the most fascinating and exam-rich topics on the specification, topic 2, genes and health. Whether you're sitting your GCSEs or pushing through A-level, this episode is packed with everything you need to understand, remember, and apply this topic under exam conditions. So grab your notes, get comfortable, and let's get started. Section 1, core concepts. The big picture. Let's start with the big question. What does it actually mean for genes to affect health? The answer lies in understanding how our DNA codes for proteins and what happens when that code goes wrong. Every cell in your body contains the same DNA, about 3 billion base pairs wound up into 46 chromosomes. Within that DNA are around 20,000 genes, and each gene is essentially a set of instructions for building a specific protein. Proteins are the workhorses of the body. They form structures, carry out chemical reactions as enzymes, and act as channels in cell membranes. So when a gene mutates, when the DNA sequence changes, the protein it codes for can be altered, and that can lead to disease. The classic example used across almost every exam board is cystic fibrosis, or CF. This is a genetic disorder caused by a mutation in the CFTR gene that stands for cystic fibrosis transmembrane conductance regulator. The CFTR gene codes for a protein that acts as a chloride ion channel in cell membranes. In a healthy person, this channel opens to allow chloride ions to move out of cells, which draws water out by osmosis, keeping mucus thin and watery. In a person with CF, the CFTR protein is misfolded or absent, so chloride ions can't move out, water doesn't follow, and the mucus becomes thick and sticky. That thick mucus clogs the lungs, the pancreatic ducts, and other organs, causing the symptoms of cystic fibrosis. Now, let's talk about protein synthesis, because this is the fundamental process that links genes to health, and it comes up in exam questions constantly. Protein synthesis happens in two stages, transcription and translation. Transcription happens in the nucleus. The DNA double helix unwinds, and one strand, called the template strand, is used as a blueprint. An enzyme called RNA polymerase moves along the template strand and builds a complementary strand of messenger RNA, or mRNA. The rules are the same as DNA base pairing, except that RNA uses uracil instead of thymine. So wherever there's an adenine on the DNA, you get a uracil on the mRNA. This mRNA strand is a copy of the gene's instructions, and it travels out of the nucleus through a nuclear pore. Translation happens at the ribosome in the cytoplasm. The ribosome reads the mRNA in groups of three bases called codons. Each codon codes for a specific amino acid. Transfer RNA molecules, tRNA, carry the correct amino acids to the ribosome. Each tRNA has an anticodon that is complementary to the mRNA codon. The ribosome joins amino acids together with peptide bonds to form a polypeptide chain, which then folds into a functional protein. Here's the key exam link. If a mutation changes even one base in the DNA, it can change a codon in the mRNA, which can change the amino acid added to the chain, which can change the shape of the protein, which can change its function. In CF, a deletion of three bases, removing the amino acid phenylalanine at position 508, causes the CFTR protein to misfold. This is called the Delta F508 mutation, and it accounts for about 70% of CF cases. Now let's talk about inheritance. Cystic fibrosis is inherited in an autosomal recessive pattern. Let's break that down. Autosomal means the gene is on one of the 22 non-sex chromosomes, so it affects males and females equally. Recessive means you need two copies of the faulty allele to show the disease. If you have one working allele and one faulty allele, you're a carrier. You don't have CF yourself, but you can pass the faulty allele to your children. We use letters to represent alleles. Let's say capital F is the dominant, working allele, and lowercase f is the recessive, faulty allele. Someone with FF is unaffected. Someone with FF is a carrier. Someone with FF has cystic fibrosis. If two carriers, both FF, have children, we can use a Punnett square to work out the probabilities. The possible offspring are FF, 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 and FF. That's a 1 in 4 chance of being unaffected, a 2 in 4 or 50% chance of being a carrier, and a 1 in 4 or 25% chance of having CF. The phenotype ratio is 3 unaffected to 1 affected. This is a classic exam question. Make sure you can draw the Punnett square, state the genotypes, and give the probability as a fraction, percentage, or ratio. Examiners accept all three, but always specify which one you're using. Section 2, cell membranes and transport. Now let's zoom in on the cell membrane, because understanding membrane structure is essential for explaining how CF affects ion transport. The cell membrane is described by the fluid mosaic model. It consists of a phospholipid bilayer, two layers of phospholipid molecules arranged with their hydrophilic heads facing outward and their hydrophobic tails facing inward. Embedded within this bilayer are proteins. Some proteins span the entire membrane. These are called transmembrane proteins or intrinsic proteins. Others sit on the surface. These are extrinsic proteins. The CFTR protein is a transmembrane protein that forms a channel, specifically for chloride ions. Ions are charged particles, so they cannot pass through the hydrophobic core of the phospholipid bilayer. They need protein channels to cross the membrane. This is called facilitated diffusion, movement of ions or large molecules down a concentration gradient through protein channels without using energy. In CF, because the CFTR channel is non-functional, chloride ions accumulate inside the cell. This reduces the osmotic gradient that would normally draw water out of the cell. The result? Dehydrated, thick mucus. Examiners love asking you to explain this chain of events. Practice writing it as a logical sequence. Mutation, misfolded protein, non-functional channel, chloride ions, retained, reduced water movement by osmosis, thick mucus, blocked airways, and ducts. Section 3, genetic testing and ethical considerations. One of the higher order topics in genes and health is genetic testing, and this is where the biology meets real-world ethics, which examiners love to test in extended writing questions. There are several types of genetic testing. Carrier testing can identify whether someone carries one copy of a recessive allele, like the CF allele, without showing symptoms. This is useful for couples planning a family. Prenatal testing, such as amniocentesis or chorionic villus sampling, can test a fetus for genetic conditions. Preimplantation genetic diagnosis, or PGD, is used during IVF to test embryos before they are implanted. Examiners expect you to discuss the ethical implications of these technologies. Arguments in favor include allowing informed family planning, reducing suffering, and enabling early treatment. Arguments against include concerns about eugenics, the psychological impact of knowing you carry a faulty gene, the risk of discrimination by employers or insurers, and questions about the moral status of embryos. For a 6-mark, evaluate question, you must present both sides with evidence and reach a conclusion. Don't just list points. Link them together and make a judgment. Section 4, exam tips and common mistakes. Right, let's talk exam technique, because knowing the content is only half the battle. Tip number 1, know your command words. State means give a brief factual answer, no explanation needed. Describe means say what happens, use correct terminology. Explain means say why or how. Always use the word because to link cause and effect. Evaluate means consider both sides and make a judgment. Calculate means show you're working and include units. Tip number 2, be precise with terminology. Examiners will not award marks for vague answers. Don't say the protein doesn't work. Say the CFTR protein is misfolded and cannot form a functional chloride ion channel. Don't say the DNA changes. Say a mutation in the CFTR gene alters the base sequence, changing the codon and therefore the amino acid sequence of the protein. Tip number 3. The most common mistake in inheritance questions is forgetting to show the Punnett square working. Even if you can do it in your head, always draw the grid, label the gametes, and fill in all 4 boxes. You get marks for the working, not just the answer. Tip number 4. In questions about protein synthesis, candidates often confuse transcription and translation. Remember, transcription happens in the nucleus and makes mRNA. Translation happens at the ribosome and makes a protein. A useful memory trick. Transcription is like typing out the message. Translation is like translating it into a protein language. Tip number 5. When explaining osmosis and water movement in CF, always state the direction of movement and the reason. Water moves by osmosis from a region of higher water potential to a region of lower water potential. In CF, because chloride ions are retained inside the cell, the water potential inside is lower, so less water moves out, leading to thicker mucus. Section 5, quick fire recall quiz. Okay, time for the quick fire recall quiz. I'll ask the question, give you 5 seconds to think, then give the answer. Question 1, what does CFTR stand for? cystic fibrosis transmembrane conductance regulator. Question 2. What type of inheritance pattern does cystic fibrosis follow? Autosomal recessive. Question 3. In protein synthesis, where does transcription take place? In the nucleus. Question 4. What is the name of the molecule that carries amino acids to the ribosome during translation? Transfer RNA or tRNA? Question 5. If two CF carriers have children, what is the probability that a child will have CF? 1 in 4 or 25%? Question 6. What is the fluid mosaic model? The model describing the cell membrane as a phospholipid bilayer with proteins embedded and moving within it. Question 7. What type of mutation causes the most common form of CF? A deletion of 3 bases, removing the amino acid phenylalanine at position 508, the delta F508 mutation. How did you do? If you got all 7, you're in great shape. If not, go back and review the sections you found tricky. Section 6, summary and sign off. Let's wrap up with the key takeaways from today's episode. 1. Genes code for proteins. A mutation in a gene can change the amino acid sequence of a protein, altering its shape and function. 2. Cystic fibrosis is caused by a mutation in the CFTR gene, which codes for a chloride ion channel. The delta F508 mutation causes the CFTR protein to misfold, blocking chloride ion transport and leading to thick, sticky mucus. 3. Protein synthesis has 2 stages: transcription in the nucleus, where DNA is copied into mRNA, and translation at the ribosome, where mRNA is read to build a polypeptide chain. 4. CF is inherited in an autosomal recessive pattern. 2 carrier parents have a 1 in 4 chance of having an affected child. 5. The cell membrane is a fluid mosaic, a phospholipid bilayer with embedded proteins. The CFTR protein is a transmembrane channel protein that allows facilitated diffusion of chloride ions. 6. Genetic testing raises important ethical questions about autonomy, discrimination, and the moral status of embryos. In evaluate questions, always present both sides and reach a conclusion. That's it for today's episode of Biology Boost. I hope this has given you a really solid foundation for topic 2, genes and health. Remember, the best revision is active revision. Close your notes, try to recall what you've just heard, and then check back. Good luck in your exams. You've got this.